Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 35 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Our main story today: an underexamined symptom of COVID-19 could give scientists clues about how to contain the virus. But first, here's what happened today. The new coronavirus has now infected 2 million people around the world. Hitting that number is a grim milestone. It exposes how hard the world has struggled to contain the deadly pathogen. It took about 4 months for the virus to infect 1 million people, and only 12 days for that number to double. The total case count today is likely higher than 2 million, with some countries, including the U.S., testing only a fraction of their populations. The European Commission is devising a plan to get Europe's economy back up and running. The Commission says companies and workers won't get back to business as usual until there's a vaccine or a cure for COVID-19. In the meantime, the European Union's executive arm has created a roadmap for partially lifting restrictions in an effort to mitigate the economic devastation. The plan, unveiled by Commission President Ursula von der Leyen on Wednesday, would coordinate a gradual exit from the lockdowns that the bloc's 27 member states imposed last month. The Commission has warned that the easing may be temporary, as it will unavoidably lead to a spike in new cases that could threaten healthcare systems again, and lead to a reinstatement of the confinement rules. And China criticized U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to halt funding to the World Health Organization and said they would support the global health body. Trump ordered the move against the WHO on Tuesday, saying the organization took China's claims about the coronavirus at face value. China's foreign ministry spokesperson, Zhao Lijian, said Wednesday that the decision will, quote, weaken the WHO's capabilities and undermine international cooperation, end quote. And now for today's main story. The loss of the ability to smell is one of the strangest clues that someone may have COVID-19. Experts around the world are still trying to understand why this symptom pops up and what it means for patients. Some are calling on people who have lost their sense of smell to get tested and isolate themselves, even if they have no other symptoms, to slow the spread of the virus. Bloomberg senior editor Jason Gale helps untangle the mystery of how COVID-19 might affect smell, and why we might want to pay more attention to this obscure symptom.
Thanks to COVID-19, we've learned a bunch of new words these past months. Anosmia and dysgeusia are a couple of them. Anosmia is the medical term for the loss of smell. If you have dysgeusia, it means your ability to taste things is off. Turns out both can be signs, and sometimes the first sign, of COVID-19.
What I hadn't yet realized is I'd completely lost my sense of smell and taste.
This is Dan Mace, a 30-year-old vlogger from Cape Town, South Africa, who told his 750,000 YouTube subscribers about his experience of COVID-19. He got diagnosed on March 21st. He felt pretty lousy for a while, but wasn't hospitalized. In fact, a couple of doctors who reviewed him didn't think he had the coronavirus. But still, some of his symptoms persisted.
It was when I made myself breakfast that I realized I had absolutely no taste and no smell, and that I hadn't had these two senses since the day that I became ill.
Dan Mace isn't alone. His symptoms have been experienced by patients all over the world, and ear, nose and throat surgeons have likewise been noting such cases and alerting their colleagues to them. I spoke recently with Dr. Jim Denaney, who's been working in the field for 42 years and is on the faculty at Johns Hopkins and the University of Missouri. He's also the Executive Vice President and CEO of the American Academy of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery. Jim told me the loss of smell isn't uncommon when someone has a cold, but COVID-19 patients seem to be getting it more.
I would say that a higher percentage of people seem to be getting it. There's still a good recovery rate, but there's a higher percentage of people than you'd expect from a common cold are getting some real anosmia or hyposmia, partial smell, and the accompanying dysgeusia means your taste is a little off. And you can make that happen yourself just by pinching your nose when you're eating. So there's a normal relation between those two.
Doctors saw a similar phenomenon with SARS, or severe acute respiratory syndrome, a related coronavirus that caused an outbreak in 2003.
This seems to be a little more prevalent than that one was, at least from what I've read. But I don't think anyone has access to the total number of cases because many providers don't ask that question. And a lot of people are so worried, they don't come out and say, and by the way, I can't smell or taste. They're worried whether they're going to survive or not.
Jim's Academy started an online anosmia reporting tool for doctors to share information about the condition in March. It's gathering important insights into patients with COVID-19 who are experiencing a complete or partial loss of their senses of smell and taste.
I think the most interesting piece in this first 150, there was over 30% that it was the only symptom they had before the diagnosis. It was the first symptom.
Jim thinks it makes sense for health workers to query patients about sensory changes when they decide if someone should be tested for the coronavirus.
In my mind, it's a what have you got to lose situation. If you ask the question and they don't have it, you have lost nothing because it's not an additional test. It doesn't put anyone at more risk, but it may actually get someone into self-isolation earlier or be tested earlier than is already happening.
If you have these symptoms, how long will they last?
We don't know. Some of these cases aren't that far. But the ones who are, a lot of these don't last more than 5 to 7 days was the average time in our study. So most people get it back, the majority, and most of it comes within the first week to 10 days, I guess is the takeaway point.
The loss of smell might sound like a quirky symptom of COVID-19, but its effects can be profound, especially for those people whose sense of smell is lost forever. Dr. Bob Datta is an associate professor of neurobiology at Harvard Medical School in Boston. His laboratory studies the function of neural circuits and how they drive behavior. He's particularly interested in the sense of smell, how animals detect smells, and how that changes brain activity.
I very much think the hope is that only a small fraction of these people will permanently lose their sense of smell.
Bob says when that happens, the permanent loss of the ability to smell is far from trivial.
And it's important to remember that from a medical perspective, you know, as humans, we're used to thinking of smell as being kind of a bonus sense. And it's really critical to know that that's not what smell is. So smell is, you know, essential for, you know, detecting dangerous odors, smoke, you know, from fires, spoiled food, natural gas. So we think of smell in that way, but smell is also incredibly important for our well-being. People who have new onset permanent anosmia often describe themselves as being depressed, and they're really at risk of developing depression because we're so dependent on our sense of smell for our kind of sense of well-being and situating ourselves emotionally in the world. And so I think as a community, we're really taking this seriously because we're hoping that we can understand this process and maybe in the future intervene.
Bob says basic scientific understanding about the new coronavirus is just emerging, which is why labs like his have only hypotheses around why infections may cause anosmia.
And so that really strongly suggests that what's not happening is that the virus is directly infecting the cells in your nose that are responsible for smell. Okay, so what else could possibly be going on?
They've looked at other possibilities. The virus could be affecting cells that surround key neurons in the nose, stopping them from sending electrical signals to the brain. Or it could be damaging a layer of stem cells under the neurons, which then need to recover.
You know, we're dealing with a very unusual situation in which, you know, the science is coming out as fast as we can generate it. One of the amazing things about the way that science works today is that we can communicate our results very quickly. And that means that there are a lot of preliminary results floating around, but it also means that it's going to take some time for us to organize that information and really make sense of it and vet it.
The mystery of why many COVID-19 patients lose their sense of smell and taste hasn't been solved yet, but finding the answer may lead to ways of treating the condition and hopefully shorten the time it takes to resolve. Perhaps more important, if doctors begin to systematically screen for this symptom, not just the more common ones like cough and fever, they could test and isolate people with the coronavirus sooner. That could eventually make a big difference in containing the disease.
That was Jason Gale in Melbourne. And that's it for the Prognosis Daily Edition. For more on the pandemic from our bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And one small favor, if you like what we're doing, please take a second to rate the podcast and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is hosted by me. The show was produced by me, Topher Forges, Jordan Gaspure, and Magnus Henriksen. Today's main story was reported by Jason Gale. Original music by Leo Sidrin. Our editors are Francesca Levy and Rick Schein. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.